I don't really know the place where he's at, where he lives. Never been there. But I've been around him enough to know, thank God, his home's my home.
Yeah.
Amen. My home's his home. I told him, praise God, anytime you're around here, amen, you just come on, praise God. Come on, Brother Larry. Mind the Lord. Now, Brother Larry's been to the dentist also this morning. Amen. But he's tough. Amen. Got a tooth filled, didn't even have to get no shots. Amen. So I appreciate you, preacher. God bless you. Amen. You mind the Lord.
Amen. Bless you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I still feel pretty good, praise God.
Amen.
Somebody might have said one of these one time, said, Brother Ken, do you realize what you've got? And I said, no. I never have realized what I really got when I got saved. I don't think anybody has really saved.
Amen.
Hey, buddy. Mind the Lord, Brother Larry.
Turning your Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah, very last chapter, 66. You know, it's so good to be saved. Words can't express how it feels on the inside to know that God has come on the inside and took up abode in you and made you a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new.
Yes, sir.
We don't have the same desires anymore. We don't have the same wants anymore. Everything changes. You know, he said, behold, all, not some, but all things are become new. And I just rejoicing while Brother Ken was rejoicing and thinking how good that it is just to be in this good way. And Lord, I've been in it for 35 years and it gets better as the days go by, getting closer to home. And Lord, I'm so enjoying the trip though down here, and God's been so good to me. I can't express this morning the good thing God done for me along this journey. And they're still doing and still does. There's not been one day since I've been saved in 35 years that I haven't woke up in the morning and realized that I belong to Him and that I'm His, He is mine. And boy, joy just floods us and helps us. Oh, just to know that you're saved this morning is the most blessed thing that's ever happened to a human being, is knowing that we're saved by the grace of God. Oh, I tell you this morning, we mentioned yesterday morning, I want to say this before I get into the preaching, and a little boy at my church, he's 20 years old, not saved. His mom, dad's members of my church and been coming for several years. And he called me about 2 weeks ago and he said, preacher, what could I come out? I want you to pray for me. He said, I'm sick. And I said, yeah, come on out. We went to the church house and I prayed for him and asked God to help him, touch him. And I told him, I said, Jacob, God wants to save you. And I said, he's more than willing to save you when you'll meet the condition. And I said, more than that, I think he's going to save you. And then Monday night, my wife called and said, Jacob called and said for you all to pray for him. That was Monday morning. I guess then Monday night, she said on the phone, she said, he's called me and asked me if it's all right if he come out to the church. And was the church unlocked? And of course, I keep it unlocked because we live right in the yard. And she said, yeah, I'm sure to be fine. Come on out. And while he was there, she was talking to me on the phone. And I said, you called me now and tell me what happened. if anything happens. And so I talked to her last night. I said, has anything happened? Jacob said anything? And she said he come, stayed over there for quite a while. And said he come by the house and knocked on the door. And said, I asked him, Jacob, has anything changed? And she said, he's crying. And he said, not yet. Said, it's still the same. But I appreciate God in getting him to the place, bringing him down to where that he can repent and be saved. And I look for, when I get back home, I look for him to be saved. If he ain't saved, I look for him to get saved Sunday. And so you all pray for him. Will you do that? All right, Isaiah 66, verse number 7. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. And making that statement, then Isaiah asked the question, who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You can be seated. If the Lord will help us just for a few minutes, I want to preach on travailing for souls. After the service last night, we went to the motel room and God woke me up in the night thinking about sinners being lost, thinking about the names that were called out around this altar last night of folks that were lost, and thinking of my own family members lost. And I thought, this morning, it's so good to be saved. I want them to have what I've got. I want lost people to have what I've got. I want them to have the peace that floods my soul. I want them to have contentment of mind and joy down in their heart. I want them to have the desires that I have to worship and serve God. And so I realize that we've let down so much in these last years that I can see the evidence in my own life since I've been saved of how that the people of God have really let down on praying for sinners. How that they've let down on caring for sinners. I've never seen such a time when we can sit in our own homes with sinners under our roofs and never spend any time praying for them. We're living in that day when the church comes in and says, let me rejoice because I'm saved. And then leave the church and never think about sinners. Or go home and stay in their homes and never wake up in the night and go pray for sinners. And yet I can remember a time as a little boy that my church that I got saved in many years ago, I remember the old man of God, my great uncle, calling revival meetings. And not just calling one for a week, but for 2 weeks or a month, they set the stage for revival. I can remember staying and living with my grandparents in an old log house that my great-grandfather had built. And my grandmother was the best cook that ever set a table. And my grandpa was a deacon in that church. And those preachers would come and didn't have motels to stay in like we do today. But they had to stay in someone's home.
that belonged to the church. And it seems like my grandpa kept every preacher that come at the whole meeting down at the church house. I'm just a little old boy, but I remember no television to watch, no radio to listen to. I can't ever remember my grandpa ever even having a radio. But I tell you what he would do when the day's work was done, and we'd hold out tobacco and corn and fed the hogs and milk the cows. I remember him getting me up on his knee around an old fireplace and stove and taking the Bible and reading to me about Samson and about Gideon and about David and about Jesus. And he could read it, and it seemed so real to me as just a little boy. But I remember them old preachers coming at the grandpa's house, and we'd sit around for a few minutes, and we went to bed with the chickens and got up with them. And I remember grandpa saying, "Son, you'll have to go to bed now. It's bedtime." But I didn't want to go. I wanted to hear him, what the preacher said. And he'd say, "Go on now, get in the bed." And I'd go in the bed room and go to bed and strain to hear what they's talking about. And you know what? They wasn't talking about no ball games. They wasn't talking about the weather. They wasn't talking about politics. But they's talking about some sinner that lived down the road that needed Jesus. They's talking about some boy or girl that needed to be saved in the community. And after a while, I'd hear the door close, and I'd wait for them to come back. And the majority of the time, I'd fall off to sleep and never hear them come back on the inside. You say, "Preacher, what were they doing? They was going down to barn and a praying for them sinners that they's talking about around the stove that night. Sometimes late hours in the morning they come in, dirt on their breeches, on their knees and on their elbows, where they got down in the dirt and dust on their face, where the tears had wetted their face in travail for souls to be saved. We've lost that in this day." And then we wonder why ain't nobody being saved today like they used to be saved. There's no travail. You know what travail is? Webster, in the 1828, he says it's labor involving painful effort, a longing and craving, weariness and hardship, toil and trouble. That's what travail is. And we're not seeing no travail today. We're not seeing travail among the people of God. And then we wonder why they ain't getting saved. And we go to the scripture and we find all kinds of cases of travail. I'm reminded of the children of Israel when they went down into Egypt. Everything seemed like it's going to be good. But there rose up a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph, and hard bondage came upon the children of Israel. Their taskmasters worked them nearly around the clock. They beat them and worked them. And then there come a time that they took those little babies, 2 years and I put them in the river and drowned them. And I can picture in my mind this morning those Egyptian soldiers coming to the houses of those Jews down there in Egypt. I can picture that soldier knocking upon the door and mama saying, hide him. Is there any place that we can hide him? They'd go into those houses and drag those little babies right out of their mama's arms and take them down and drown them in the river. And then I can picture daddy coming home that night after toiling all day and mama meet him at the door and saying, they got him. They got him this morning. I couldn't stop him. Oh yes, they got a baby. And I can picture in my mind that mom and daddy getting down in the floor and crying out to God, calling upon God to send a deliverer and deliver them from that place of bondage. I can picture it in my mind, things that must have went on in those days. I can picture them. The Bible says that they cried out to God. They cried out in travail. And you know what? God heard their cry. And he raised up a deliverer right in Pharaoh's house and delivered them. But first, there was travail that had to take place before God sent the deliverer. We're not seeing that today, yet our children, grandchildren, moms and dads and brothers and sisters, husbands and wives lost without God, and no travail in our hearts, no burdens are we carrying for them anymore. But it's just like me and mine. Let them go. I'm saved. I'm all right. I won't be happy in the Lord. I ain't got time to think about them. You know, the main thing that God calls a preacher for is to get the lost saved. That's our main thing. Preach the gospel so that that gospel light will shine in and bring repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus that they can be saved. I'm reminded of Peter when he's in prison. They'd heard and done cut the head of James off, and he seen it please the people. And so he got after Peter and put him in prison. But the Bible says that the church without ceasing prayed for him and travailed for him. And God sent his angel and delivered Peter out of prison. But it was first that God mentioned that the church prayed without ceasing that Peter would be delivered. No travail in this day. How long has it been since you've had a burden that you couldn't carry on your own, but that you had to take it to the Lord and say, not a burden for you, but you had to take somebody else before the Lord and say, Lord, if you don't save them, I just don't know if I can live or not. We're not seeing any of that today. Then we wonder why. Why are the lost not being saved? You see, there's a reason for travail. It's the order of nature. It's the order of nature. When a woman has a baby, she spends 9 months in travail before that baby is born. And we could go on with the other animals and creatures. There's always periods and time of travail before that birth can take place. And we're not seeing that in our churches, beloved. We're not seeing that today. It's the order of nature. And I won't say this morning, as it is in the natural, so is it in the spiritual realm.
There must be travail. There must be burdens carried for the lost. And God's people must carry that burden until it gets so heavy that they have to take it to Jesus. He's the only one that can deliver a sinner from a devil's hell. I want to tell you something. Travail comes before the bringing forth. As you heard in the reading as I read to you, you see, the deep emotions within us, when burdens are carried and travail takes place, they always precede our being, and we're made the instruments through travail of the salvation of others. I had a grandma and a grandpa that I know prayed for me continually, and I believe this morning if they had not prayed, I'd be lost. They had a burden. I want to tell you something. He's ordained it for our good. Did you know that? You say, well, I can't understand. Well, God has ordained travail for our good, as well as those that are lost being saved. You see, every grace within the man, the child of God, is educated and increased by his travail for lost souls. You think of that this morning. I said every grace within the child of God is educated and increased because of the travail for lost souls. It drives us to the mercy seat. It brings us down to humbleness. It causes us to have desires that nothing else will bring upon us. We're increased in the grace of God as we travail. See, every grace within us is educated and increased. You won't get close to God, you start carrying a burden for the lost. And Jesus will draw you up close to Him. Some says, I can't get where I need to be. Quit caring so much about yourself and start caring about somebody's lost. We too selfish in this day and in this age. I've never seen such a selfish a bunch of God's people as I'm seeing in this day. We're so concerned about our problems, about our troubles, about our wants, and our people and our friends are dying and going to hell, and we're wrapped up in ourselves today. You see, God's ordained it for our good. If souls were given to us without any effort, without any anxiety or prayer, it would be to our loss to have it so. Oh yes, it would be. Because the anxieties and the burdens which throb within us, at which a compassionate spirit exercises God's graces in us, I want to tell you what they do. They produce grateful love to God. They make us love Him more. They make us draw to Him more. They cause us, you see, they drive us down to where we need to be in humility. They give us that faith, thank God, to realize that nobody but one can do what needs to be done. And they make us realize it more in reality than ever before, that Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one that can do what we can't do, that can go out and grip the heart of a sinner and bring him under Holy Ghost conviction and bring him to that place of repentance and give him faith to believe and birth him into the family of God. I tell you this morning, travail is missing in this day. We're too concerned about ourselves. You know, Travail tries our faith in the power of God to save others and to strengthen us and give us patience. We've got to have that. You know, sometimes, I don't know, I tell you, travail qualifies us for the proper taking care of those new converts. You know, somebody that you've prayed over,
yeah,
and that you've wept over,
uh-huh,
and that you've begged God to save, will make you want to take care of them to get saved. It'll make you like a mama, church. You want to make sure that they're there as you like. You want to make sure that they're going down the right path. You want to make sure that they're doing what God wants them to do. And prayer won't stop with their salvation, but prayer will continue on. Oh, God, help this young child of God. Help this boy. Help this girl. Lord, don't let them stray away, but keep them in the house of God. Keep them where they worship, but keep them where they serve. Oh yes, these things happen. It's for our good as much as anything that we travail for sinners. Travail qualifies us for the proper taking care of them. Oh yes. How long's it been since you've just carried a burden for someone? I don't know how it is with you, but God gives me burdens for just one at a time. Oh, in general, I can pray for a group, but God just puts one at a time on my heart. I remember, I'm going to tell this, it happened to me several years ago. I remember an old man that up in his 70s, he had a little old service station just a couple miles from where I live now. And he's a wicked man. He drank and he cursed and but I'd stop in there and get gas, and he is good to me. He'd be just as nice and friendly to me as he could be. And all of a sudden, there's a burden developed in my heart for him. I couldn't get him off my mind. I hardly knew him, but I couldn't get him off my mind. I'd wake up in the night, and he'd be on my mind, and I'd have to get up and pray, "Oh, God, make a way where he can be saved." And this went on for several days, even up in the weeds. And the burden got so heavy for him, I couldn't think about nothing else, Brother Ken. I just wanted to be saved. And I got up one night and told my wife, "I done fixed him to go to bed." I said, "I've got to go talk to him." I said, "I've got to go. God's told me to go down there." And I went down there and pulled in. He lived right beside his station. I pulled in and knocked on the door. His wife came to the door and she opened the door up. I seen him sitting there in the recliner in the living room right back. And he was watching television. And she said, "Can I help you?" And about that time, he turned around to look. And I said, "Yeah, I need to talk to Gordon." And by that time, I was crying. And I said, "God," he come up to the door, and I said, "God sent me to talk to you, Gordon. Talk to you about your soul. God's burdened me and put you on my heart. And I want to come and invite you to the house of God. I want you to come to church." And by that time I was a-crying. And before you know it, he started crying. And I said, "Would you come?" And his wife, a busybody, come butted in and interrupted and said, "Oh, we go to church up here." And I know he didn't go nowhere. And I seen I couldn't make no headway because she got in between us. And I said, well, Gordon, I want you to come. If you will, I'm going to leave now. And he followed me to the car, matter of fact, big old man. And he followed me. And when I pulled out, he's still crying. But you know what? As soon as I got in that car and heading down that road, the burden lifted. Wasn't there. 2 weeks later, he had a heart attack immediately and died. And went out into eternity without God. But I done my part. I done what I thought God wanted me to do. But that burden was so strong, and I've had that for others also. Burdens that come. I had such a burden for my daddy. When God called me to preach, he wasn't saved. He's up in his 50s. And the burden was so strong for him that I finally got him to come to church. He comes several Sundays. He's sitting back about where Brother Steve is. And when I give the invitation, he'd get up and go out. Every time, he'd just get up and go out the door. And one Sunday morning, I went and the burden was gone. Wasn't there anymore. And he came, sat right in the same place. And there's a woman sitting on this second pew right here. That where Sister Barbara's sitting. And she got so under conviction that she stood up and began to tremble and cry, tears streaming down her face. And I said, surely, surely, Lord, she's going to get saved this morning. I gave the invitation and she just stood there trembling. And I looked out of the corner of my eye and my dad got up. But instead of going out the door, he ran to the altar. And he fell on his face and God saved him that morning. The burden had lifted, but God had put peace in my heart before he ever came. We've lost those burdens. Say, how did I get one back? You start out by prayer. Start out by quit being so selfish. Quit thinking about you and start thinking about them. We're in too much of the business thinking about us today and our little old problems. Our little old heartaches that wouldn't even faze those that's gone before us. I will say something else about travail. It secures all the glory to God. It secures all the glory to God. It makes us to realize that man has no part in it. It makes us to realize when we go to that mercy seat and we start crying out to God that there's no other can help than Him. And it makes us realize just who He is and how wonderful that He is and how powerful that He is. And He gets all the glory because He's the only one that can save a sinner. Oh yes. Where are we today? You know, the power in the hand of God's Spirit, you know what it is? Heart coming in contact with heart. That's what it takes to get people saved. That's going to come just with a burden. Yeah. You know, truth from the heart goes to the heart. Yeah. Tender hearts break hard hearts. Uh-huh. We've got too much intellectual preaching today in our churches. Head stuff, no heart stuff. People trying to excite somebody that's already saved. Trying to show them something that they ain't seen before. What's the matter just preaching the gospel? What's the matter just preaching the Bible ideas? What's the matter just asking God to put on your heart what He wants and not what you want? I struggled over this. I said, I don't know what to preach if Brother Ken asked me. But God woke me up in the night. And He said, you seen what went on last night. He said, you just followed. How long has it been since you've carried a burden for somebody? How long has it been? Or I could say it this way, have you ever carried a burden for anybody? Has your burden been so strong? I worked at the Chevrolet Garage for 11 years, mighty man. And had a bathroom in the body shop. And I'm being honest, I almost thought I wore a pants to it. But I wasn't going to the bathroom. I was going to pray. I'm sure they probably heard me, but it didn't make no difference. But I had some of them boys on my mind that I was working with. I wanted to see them saved. And you know, some of them did get saved. But again, there's a couple of them come to my church and got saved. Oh, yes. We've lost that. We're too busy with worldly things. We're too interested in ourselves and what God can do and does for us. What He never did do anything else for you, He'd still be God. And He'd still be just and pure and holy and righteous. If He never done anything else for me, I could not say that I've not been blessed.
That's right.
But I want a burden. I'm tired of seeing my church lost people Sunday after Sunday not being saved. Tired of seeing my congregation, myself included, get up and go out without concern. Oh yes, we want what we used to have and what the old timers had, but we don't want to pay the price to get it. We don't carry those burdens because we're in a selfish time. I'm just being honest and preaching from my heart this morning. How long has it been, church? How long has it been, Mama, since you've had a burden for that daughter or that son? How long has it been, Daddy, since you've had a burden? Grandma, Grandpa, how long has it been since you've woke up in the night and God's got you up and caused you to go outside or in some back room or down in the basement and cry out to God, not for 2 minutes, but for 2 or 3 hours, begging God to save them and get a hold of them? How long has it been? They're not going to get saved. Oh, once in a while I want to get saved. God's not limited.
No.
Once in a while I want to get saved. But think how much more we'd get saved if we just begin to carry burdens for our family members, our friends and neighbors. Does God wake you up in the night? You go to your prayer place in the morning. See, I got a good prayer place in my house. It's a church house. I just live from here across the road in a trailer. And so my prayer place is the church house. I go to church and pray in the morning, at night, sometimes during the day. Got a good place. Where's your prayer place at?
Yeah.
Have you got one? That's the place to take that burden before the Lord. And sometimes in the night. I got up the other night, my son and them said, can't remember exactly how that, but I said, I got to go to church now. My wife said, where are you going all night for?
At that time, you know, all the time. I said, I'm going to pray. She said, oh.
My son said, what's Daddy doing over at the church at? She said, I guess he's a praying. That's what he usually goes over for.
How long has it been? Would you be honest with yourself? You know, you've got to face the truth about yourself before you can face the truth about God.
I'm closing with it. Did you know this morning that psychologists, when people get all messed up and they go to these sites, you know the first thing they get them to do? Face the truth about themselves. God uses that same method. How long has it been since you really had a burden for somebody that's drove you to the mercy seat of God and caused you to groan and cry and beg God to save them and go get them and save them? How long has it been since you've had that?
You ain't going to get it if you don't want
it. You ain't going to get it if you're too selfish. You ain't going to get it if you don't care. Just go on like you're going. And your children, your grandchildren, your moms and dads and husbands and wives, they'll just drop off into hell sooner or later. I wonder if God, sadly, the blood's a little bit on your hands. Because I preached to you, and I burdened you to pray, and you wouldn't. As long as it means. Church, we come down here, me and Brother Mibb, and he's talking about revival, and me and him spends a lot of time together traveling and going to each other's houses and so on. We talk about revival all the time. He said, Brother Larry, he said, it's just about over with. He said, the whole time was about gone. He said, what are they going to do when you've gone? When others like us have gone, what are they going to do? He told me that yesterday. He said, what are they going to do? I said, I don't know, brother. But I tell you what can happen. I thought about that Jacob, and I believe he's going to get saved as sure as I'm standing here.
I wonder about my little church. Ain't nobody to take over. Ain't nobody in the whole county I can fellowship with. They say he's too straight.
He's too strict. He's too old fashioned. God could raise that boy up and call him to preach. And I'm going to trade him in that old time way if he gets saved. He already knows what real worship is just by looking and knows how it takes effect. What are you going to do? I like to see revival. Hey, I know it's the middle of the week, the latter part of the week, but it ain't too late for revival to break out. Revival could hit this place tonight and tomorrow, and we could see things that this country ain't seen for a long time. Yeah. If you'll get where God wants you.
Yeah.
Where's your burden at? If you ain't got one, I wonder if you'd come this morning. Come around this altar.